Shalom to all. Today's office is Shalom Megillah Daf Yud Aleph. We are starting Yerubim Beis on the bottom with Halacha Ches. And today's office sponsor Lila Nishmas Marsh Mem Sar Bas Yaakov Moshe. Her Nishama should have an Aliyah. And so we continue with the Ein Beins. The Mishnah says Ein Beins Zav Harosh Teiris LaRosh Shalosh El Karbon. There's a difference between a Zav who saw two versus three Riyas except for a Karbon. Now what's this referring to? So we know that back in the day, we don't have this nowadays, but back then they had this thing called Zav, which is that they were able to discern when certain emission came from a body that rendered the man a Zav. We also have a female version of this called a Zava. So there's different stages of a Zav. So when emission comes from a man's body, it's called a re'iyah, and if he has one re'iyah, that's just treated as a regular bar keri. He's just tummy for a day, goes to the mikvah, and he's perfectly fine. Now, if he has another re'iyah of zayv, then he's called a roya shtei re'iyah, so it's two re'iyahs. It's either two in one day, or one day after another, and then he's tummy for 7 days. He has to count shivin akiyim, 7 clean days, where he doesn't see anything, and then only at the end of those 7 days, he go to the mikvah, and then he's tar. Now, let's say he sees 3 in 1 day, or 3 1 day after another, so then he was a zav, who was roya shalish re'iyahs, and then not only does he have to count shivin akiyim, he also has to bring a karbon on day 8. The Mishnah continues, there's no difference between these two different types of mitzrayim, ella priya ufrima. What's this referring to? So a fellow comes to the kohen with a nega on his skin, and there aren't any simanim on it to show that for sure he's tamei, so he gets quarantined for a week. That's called hezger. He's locked up. If the nega is oimed, it doesn't change, so he undergoes hezger for another week, and if there's still no change, then he's tahar. However, if during week 1 or 2 of hezger it spreads or develops white hair, so then he's called muchlet. He's 100% determined that he's a mitzayra. We just have to wait for it to get better, and then he goes to the whole tahar process, during which he's going to bring shteitzi parim, 2 birds, and other karbanos as well, as we're going to be seeing in the Gemara. So the Mishnah just told us there's no difference between a mitzayra muzgar, mitzayra muchlet. The mitzayra muzgar is the one who's undergoing hezger. He's locked up for 7 days to see what the story of this naga is, versus a mitzayra muchlet, who's a 100% mitzayra, except for pri and frima. The pasuk says that a mitzayra muchlet, he has to let his hair grow and he has to tear his clothing. That's pri and frima. We have to add a number of words into the continuation of the gears in the Mishnah. Ein bein tahar mitach hezger, lebein tahar mitach hechlet. There's no difference between a mitzayra who now is tahar after he finishes days of skira, which means that the nega either got smaller or didn't change, and a mitzayra who's tar mitach hechlet, meaning he was 100% mitzayra and then he got healed, ela teglachas v'tziparim, those are the Torahs that we have in our Mishnah, teglachas v'tziparim, that's besides for shaving and birds, a mitzayra muchlet or a mitzayra mitach hechlet, he has to shave all of his hair and he has to bring birds, as we had mentioned. So the Gemara tells us, Amar Vida Rav Pazi, Rabbi Elazar, he, our Mishnah must be Rabbi Elazar. Why is that? Yud Aleph Amud Aleph on top, Rabbi Elazar, because Rabbi Elazar says, af b'shlishis b'ayt k'nai sa'im ne'a karbon, even on the third day we check him because of a karbon. From karbon, however, according to Rabbanan, hashniya ma'aynas tahar, the second one from aynas is tahar, vashlishis ma'aynas tamei, the third one even from aynas is tamei. What's this referring to? So it's din regarding a zav, that when he sees his second re'iyah, which would technically make him a zav, we are baidik the zav, a Mishnah tells us. We have to check to see why did he have this re'iyah, and if we're able to determine that it's one of 7 external reasons, maybe because of food or drink, or he's sick perhaps, a number of different reasons why, then we would say that he's actually not a zav, and he's still tahar, and he's just considered like a regular bar keri, again because it's not zav, this is due to that external reason. Whether Rabbi Elazar and Rabbanan agree to that, however, they argue regarding the third re'iyah, as we had just read, Rabbi Elazar holds that even by the third re'iyah, let's say he had 2 100% re'iyahs, so he's for sure a zav that has to count shivin akiyim, but now he has a third re'iyah, Rabbi Elazar says, we check it to see if there's an external reason why he had it, and if we could determine that there was some sort of other reason, so he's just considered zav haraya shtei re'iyahs and not shalish, and therefore he wouldn't have to bring a karbon. However, the Rabbanan hold that once he's a zav haraya shtei re'iyahs, if he has another re'iyah, we're not going to bother checking why that came, and we're going to say for sure that's a third re'iyah of zav, and he would have to bring a karbon. And so that's why our Mishnah has to be Rabbi Elazar, says Rabbi Yehuda Rapazi. Because according to Rabbanon, we just discovered another difference between a zav raya shtei re'iyahs versus a zav raya shalish re'iyahs. That if his second re'iyah is determined just to be for an external reason, he's not going to be a zav. But if his third re'iyah is determined to be from an external reason, he is 100% zav. So that should have been another difference mentioned in the Mishnah. Since the Mishnah did not mention that, it must be that it's shitas Rabbi Elazar that there's actually no difference between zav raya shtei re'iyahs and shalish re'iyahs regarding bedika, that either which way, the second and third re'iyah, we're going to check to see why is it that he had that re'iyah. However, Amar B'yaisa, B'yaisa argues with this, unless he's Rabbanon, if you want to say the Mishnah is not Rabbanon, v'loy of Rabbi Elazar lasi, then it's not Rabbi Elazar either. And why is that? Because the Tanu we have a Braisa, Amar B'lazar B'lazar says, loy l'saisa amarti el shaloy yavi karbon. I didn't say my din that we're going to check that third re'iyah to see why he had it regarding stira, I just said regarding a karbon. What does that mean? Loy amarti she'enu zav listar. I never said that that third re'iyah is not going to turn him into a zav regarding stira. Actually, zav hu listar. That's proper girsa. He is a zav in regards to stira. Loya Marti only said this, elo shaloyavi karbon, just in terms of not bring a karbon. In other words, Rabbi Yis is explaining Rabbi Elazar differently. So this brings another pointer into the discussion regarding zav, and it's called stira. Let's say, for example, on the last day of the Shimon Akiyim, the zav had another re'iyah. Now, that doesn't make him chayv a karbon because it's not 3 in a row, but it is soiser. It contradicts his count of 7, and he has to restart the entire count of 7. And that's what Rabbi Yis is clarifying in Shitas Rabbi Elazar, that all all Rabbi Elazar said regarding this third Re'iyah is that we're going to check it to see why he had it. And if we're able to determine that it came because of an external reason, so it's not going to be Saiser his count of seven, it's just going to delay it by a day, because then we're going to treat that which he saw as regular carry, so he has to wait another day, but he still continues his count of seven, and that's the only thing we're checking for. And that being the case, Rabbi Yosef continues, Hada'amr, this tells us, Dibra Kalhi, that really our Mishnah has to be according to everybody, because not only, as we had just said before, in Shitas Rabbi Barpazi, that technically the Mishnah can't be the Rabbanon, because in Shitas Rabbanon, there's another difference between a Zavaroi Shtei Re'iyas versus one that saw three. There's another difference between Rabbi Elazar as well, according to Rabbi Yosef. Why is that? Because in Tamed Rabbi Elazar, if you want to say the Mishnah really is Rabbi Elazar and not the Rabbanon, well then we should have a number of other differences mentioned between Zavaroi Shtayim and Shalash. How is that? Nisni should teach as follows. Hashnia, pay attention to the gears of changes. Loibestira v'loibakarbon. If the second Re'iyah was determined to be from an external factor, so then it would not cause stira. Over here, that's just a borrowed term. It means that he wouldn't even be tummy at all, and of course he wouldn't have to bring a carbon. Versus Ashlishes, when he has a third Re'iyah, not in a row, he has two of regular Zayv, so he's counting Shevin Akiyim, and then he has a third Re'iyah, let's say a couple days later. So Bastira, that's going to be Saiser. It's going to contradict his count of seven and make him restart, but Veloy Bekarbon, he's also not going to ever bring a carbon. And also, Adat Reblazar, Quench Reblazar, Rosh Taim Beshufi, if he saw Beshufi, which means just regular Re'iyah is Zayv, so he's Zayv who's counting Shevin Akiyim, Va'achas Bekaishi, but one of them was Bekaishi, meaning Ba'ainis or some sort of external factor, so Saiser's Ve'inim via carbon. That contradicts, and he doesn't have to bring a carbon. In other words, when that third Re'iyah is determined to be because of an Ainis, because of an external factor, so it's not going to be Saiser's count, it's just going to delay it by a day, as we mentioned before. So here's some more differences, even in Shitas Rabbi Elazar. And therefore, says Rabbi Yosef, it has to be the Mishnah is both according to Rabbanon and Rabbi Elazar. And you're right, even though according to both of them, there's technically other differences, the Mishnah just simply didn't mention those and only spoke about the carbon aspect, which is the difference between Zavrei Shtayim versus Shalosh. And again, that's Shitas Rabbi Yosef. However, we have a different understanding of Rabbi Yudan. Rabbi Yudan says, Masisam Shnei Bnei Adam. Our Mishnah is talking about two different people. We're not talking about one person who saw two Re'iyas and then that same person who now saw a third Re'iyah. We're talking about two separate people. One person saw two and another person saw three. And Aruch Hanina further clarifies, Masisa Amar Kein. Our Mishnah tells this itself. What's the next part of the Mishnah? Ein Bein Mitzari Muzgal Mitzari Muchlot El Apriyu Frima V'Teglachas V'Tziparim. Now Hadamar that clearly tells us B'Shnei Bnei Adam Anan Kaimen that we're talking about two separate people, one type of Mitzaira or a different type of Mitzaira. Because in Tam Adam Echad, if you want to say where the Mishnah is talking about one person, first was a Mitzari Muzgar and then he became Mitzari Muchlot because he developed the Simanim of Toma. Well, the Nisni, the Mishnah should teach something else. Ein Bein Baharis Gedoilul Baharis Katana. There's no difference between a large Baharis versus a small Baharis. In other words, there's no difference between a person who first had a small Negat Saras, which then developed into a larger Negat Saras, except for the following. And it doesn't say that. It talks about two different Mitzarayim. Mitzar Musgur versus Mitzar Muchlot. Therefore, again, it must be talking about two separate people. And therefore, Yud Alpha Mez on top. Hechmadat Amr Taman, B'Shnei Bnei Adam Anan Kaimin. Just like you see over there at the end of the Mishnah, they were talking about two separate people. V'hacha, so to appear in the beginning of the Mishnah, B'Shnei Bnei Adam Anan Kaimin. We're talking about two separate people, not one person who saw two Re'iyas and then saw a third Re'iyah, and then we have this whole Machlokes in the beginning of the Gemara. That's not what it's referring to. Moving on now to discuss Saras. So we already mentioned what Mitzayra Muzgar is versus Mitzayra Muchlot. And here we get into more involved discussion regarding Mitzayra, and we have to add another factor, which is called Pircha. That literally means spreading. Now, there's a unique din with Saras that if the person's Negat Saras spread to their entire body, so they actually are Tahar. It has to be that their Saras is localized, but if they have Saras over the entire body, it's actually not considered Saras and they're Tahar. Something Gemara now discusses. Parcha Bai Mitai Chesker. Let's say the person's Saras expanded greatly, covered his entire body. And again, we're just going to be calling that Pricha, that it spread throughout the whole body. And that happened during Hesger, which again is when he's locked up for 7 days trying to determine whether or not he's 100% Mitzayra. So Rabbi Yochanan Reichan says Ton Siparim. He has to bring birds at the end of his 7 day period. Whereas Blaz Armor, he says Ain Ton Siparim, he doesn't have to bring birds. Now Omar Baru Mamel, he brings a Raya Masisa Misayel Rabbi Yochanan. The following Bryce is Raya for Rabbi Yochanan that he does have to bring birds. Why is that? Because the Pasuk says Min Hatsarua. A more full quote of the Pasuk is Vihine Nirpa Nega Hatsaras Min Hatsarua. That the Tsaras was healed from the Tsarua. Now this is an extra Lashon. What's this teaching us? Lahavi Shaparcha Bakulai Shei Ton Siparim. This teaches us when a person has a Pricha, it went into his entire body, he still requires Siparim. As the Bryce of Aloydin, who isn't a Kavachimer, Ma Emisha Tahar, Vain Simani Matamav Imai Ton Siparim, just like when a person is Tahar and he has no Simani Toma on him anymore, he still has to bring Siparim. That's referring to a Mitzayra Muchlet at the end when he becomes 100% Tahar. Well, Misha Tahar, Simani Matamav Imai, a person who's Tahar because he had Prechav Tsaras and he still has his Simani Toma on him because he still has Tsaras, Ain Aydin Shehe Ton Siparim, shouldn't we say for sure that he requires Siparim? So when we read a Pasuk for, ask the Bryce. Now the Bryce tells us the Pircha, which is the question, the refutation on the Kal V'chomer, which is why we need a pasuk. Here's the pircha. I'll show you that a person who had to wait for 2 weeks, he was a mitzayr muzger for 2 weeks, he's going to prove that this is not a good Kal V'chomer. Why is that? He's tahar because, as we had said, if a mitzayr muzger stays for 2 weeks and there's no change, so he's actually tahar, but he still has a simani tumah with him. He still has saras. He doesn't require birds. You also shouldn't be surprised. In regards to somebody who has saras completely on him, even though he is tahar, and he still has simani tumah on him, he shouldn't necessarily have to require tziparim. So therefore, that's what we have to have the pasuk that tells us minat sarua lahavias shaparcha bakulai sheiton tziparim, that teaches us that if he had saras spread across him completely, then he has to bring tziparim. Now here's the raya that the braisa is like Rabbi Yochanan, because im oimer at liparach mitoy chazger, that's the proper girsa. If you're going to say that when a person is a mitzayr muzgar, we're still waiting to see what his status is going to be, and then all of a sudden the tziras spread to his entire body. If you want to say that lo yeton siparim, he doesn't require birds, so in viasvine, the braisa in its pircha tekal chaymer should have asked something totally different. I will explain what that different thing is in a moment. And the reason why I should have asked that is because lo yimotav lahashiv pricha al prichas v'lo yamida al prichas, wouldn't it be better to knock away the kal chaymer by bringing a situation of pricha, tziras spread to his whole body, regarding another case of pricha, as opposed to bringing a case from the tziras did not spread, it was oimed regarding prichas, and since it did not do that, it must be go like Rabbi Yochanan. In other words, the Gemara is telling us as follows: if pricha during hezger did not require birds, then there's a better pircha on the kal v'chomer. Why is that? So the original question is based off of amida, namely when there's no change to the nega. But the point being proved was about pricha, about it spreading. Therefore, this is what the Braisa should have said: pricha during hezger doesn't require birds, even though he still has the simani toma. So too, pricha after hechlet also doesn't require birds, even though he has the simani toma. Now, since this was not said, this was not the pircha of the Braisa, it must be that pricha during hezger does require birds. That's a right for Rabbi Yochanan. However, Amar Ruchanani Chavrin Drabanon, Ruchananya, the colleague of the Rabbanon, he argues and says that soifa, that's proper girsa, the end of the Braisa, misayeya lirabalazar, is actually right for Rabalazar, that if there's pricha during the hezger stage, birds are not required. How is this? Well, the chen tanoi, because it's taught in the Braisa as follows. The Masav Chavre, the following question was asked. Now, loy, this is not a good question, because imamarta bazesh, chena niskak lechalita. If you want to say the mitzvah mitzvah hezger doesn't require tziparim, that's because he was never muchlat, he was never determined 100% to be a mitzvah. Tanur bazeshu nuske kol chalita, are you going to say the same din applies to a mitzvah muchlat who had pricha that spread to his entire body? Well, he was a mitzvah muchlat. Ha'ilvahu nuske kol hechlet, since he was in the stage of being a mitzvah muchlat, yehiton tziparim, it makes sense to need tziparim. In other words, the end of the braisa asks a question showing how we're not able to compare a mitzvah muzgar and a mitzvah muchlat, even though we're talking about similar stages where they both had pricha, the nega spread to the entire body. There's still a very clear difference. The mitzayra muchlat, he was already determined to be a 100% mitzayra, versus the mitzayra muzgar was not determined to be 100% mitzayra. Therefore, it makes sense that a mitzayra muchlat would have to have tziparim at the end of his time, and the mitzayra muzgar would not have to have tziparim. Now, it's a very clear raya, like Rabbi Lazar, that a mitzayra muzgar who has pricha on his entire body does not require tziparim. That's raya number one. And Rabbi Yaakov Racha, he also says, pay attention to the gears of change, masnisa misayla Rabbi Lazar. Our mission is arrived for Rabbi Lazar. What does our Mishnah say? Hatar mitach hezger patam repriyu frimu mitkachas tziparim. A mitzayr who turns out to be tar at the end of his days of hezger, he does not have to do priyu frimu mitkachas and tziparim. And how is this raya? Because kol man danan kaimen hacha beprichas. Everything we're talking about over here in our Mishnah has to do with a mitzayr that had the nega spread to his entire body. Why would that be? Well, because since the Mishnah is comparing these two different mitzayrim, a mitzayr mitach hechlet versus a mitzayr mitach hezger, it must be that we're dealing in the same factors in both of them, that they both are the same case. And the only way that we have these two mitzayrayim being the same exact situation is if they had pricha on their bodies with the nega. And the Mishnah tells us very clearly that one of the differences is tziparim, birds. Namely, mitzayr mitach hezger, who has pricha, does not require birds. And that's right for Rabbi Lazar. The Gemara continues, Amar Shmuel bar Avodma, Mat Pligin, what's the machloikas Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yochanan regarding this mitzayr mitach hezger, if he has to bring tziparim, lahavi tziparim, it's only regarding the birds, ava lahavi karbon, but in regards to bringing the other karbonis of mitzayra, kol amamodesh enemy of karbon, everyone agrees that this mitzayr mitach hezger doesn't have to bring the regular karbonis of mitzayra. And where do we get this from? Tanikin, because it's taught in a breast like this. The pasuk tells us, b'shvi yigalach, on the seventh day, a mitzayra has to shave all of his hair. And then it tells us, b'shmini yavi, on the eighth day of his tahara process, he brings karbonis. What do we learn from here? Eshu ton teglachas mevi karbon. Esh sheinu ton teglachas enemy of karbon. Only somebody who has to have all of his hair shaved, he has to bring karbonis. But if he doesn't require his hair shaved, so he doesn't have to bring a karbon, and a mitzayr musker doesn't have to have his hair shaved, so even if you're going to tell me that he has to bring tziparim, that's only because of a comparison between a mitzayr muchlat specific specifically in regards to the birds. But in regards to bringing karbanos, even Rabbi Yochanan agrees he wouldn't have to bring a karban if he was just after Hezger. We continue with the discussion, Yud Beis Amud Alpha on the top. Now we explain the Mishnah where it says that a Mitzayra Musgar does not require primu fria, which is letting the hair grow and tearing the clothing. So Rav Chaim Bar Okva says, the Pasuk tells us, Kol Yemei Asher Nega Bay Yitma, all the days that the Nega is on him, he shall be Tameh. What do we learn from here? Esher Tumasa Tuli B'negoi. If the person's Tumah is Tali on his Nega, so then he has to do Priyun Frima, as the Pasuk says. But Yatzazed excludes this Mitzayra Musgar, Shet Tumasa Tuli B'Sfiras Yamav. The only reason why he's Tameh is because he's counting 7 days. During those 7 days, he happens to be Tameh, but it's only because he's counting these 7 days. It's not because he's a 100% Mitzayra, and that's why he doesn't require Priyun Frima. We continue, Adkadon Priyun Frima. Tiglasvins Parminayan. This is all clarity how we know Mitzayra Musgar doesn't require Priyun Frima. But how do you know he doesn't have to shave his hair and bring Tziparim at the end of his time? And the answer to this is Reb Elazar Dreimayas says B'Shem Rav Shammai. The pasuk says Zois Tia Taras HaMitzayra B'Yayim. This is the law, the rule of the Mitzayra in the day. Now, really, we're stopping the pasuk in the middle. It says Zois Tia Taras HaMitzayra B'Yayim Taharasai. But the main focus is the word B'Yayim. What do we learn from here? Eshu Matam Matahar B'Yayim Echad. This is referring to a person who could become Tamei and Tahar in one day. Yatzazesh Ein Matam Matahar B'Yayim Echad. This excludes Mitzayra Musgar, who's not Tamei and Tahar in one day. A Mitzayra Musgar, everything has to do with 7 or 14 days. He gets locked up for 7 days. If there's no change, it's another 7 days for a total of 14. And that's what his Tumah and Tahara is totally on. Even if in the middle of the 7 days of Hezger, his Nega goes down, which is definitely a Simon Tahara, he can't call the Kayin and say, okay, Kayin, come. The Nega went down. I'm Tahar. It doesn't work like that. He has to wait at the end of 7 days, and only then he's Tahar. As opposed to Mitzar Mukhlet, the moment his Nega disappears, so he's automatically considered Tahar. That's what we mean. In one day, it could change. From one day to the next, it could disappear, and then he's better. And so it's only that person who has to do the Klachsan Siparim, not a Mitzar Muzgar. We're going to stop for the day and pick up tomorrow with Halacha Tess with more Ein Bains. But for now, everyone should have a wonderful day.